This audio is brought to you by State Farm agent Alicia Kozacek, your location agent and good neighbor.
Good morning, it's 9 o'clock. Please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance. Pledge of Allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Commissioners, there is one addition to the agenda, and that is a guardian ad litem agreement from the county attorney's office. That's what Kristen is passing out. You had in your packets meetings from the June 18th and June 25th meetings. Were there any additions, corrections, or substitutions? All right, is there a motion to approve the minutes as presented?
Move to approve the minutes.
There's a motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor of approving the minutes, please signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. We'd like to welcome up representatives from the Jim Gatchell Museum Association. I believe we have a presentation that they're going to make. So, Mr. Lawrence, good morning.
Good morning.
From the Jim Gatchell Governing Board, we've got their chair, Brucey Connell. Good morning, Brucey.
Good morning.
The Jim Gatchell Museum Association, please present our annual parks layout museum. This year's check is $57,217.
And John, before you run out the door, would you please introduce the members of your board that are here with you today?
Barbara Muller, Dee
McMahon,
Chris
Washington.
Shelley Armstrong.
Thank you, Simon.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you for your support of the museum. It's critical to the success, so thank you.
Yes, thank you.
At this point, I'd like to welcome up the county's emergency management coordinator, who's going to give us an update on the all hazard risk mitigation plan and ask for adoption of a resolution.
Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Kennedy. Brief us.
So FEMA recently approved, tentatively approved our plan for hazard mitigation in the preparation of adoption to help it. Anticipation of it taking full effect. This plan includes our region as far as the state's concerned and Homeland Security, so it incorporates the five counties in our region, including Campbell, Weston, Sheridan, and Crook, as well as ourselves. The document itself is rather large. It's like 731 pages, so in the sake of not spending a whole lot of money on printing the whole thing, I have an electronic version, which I'm challenged with trying to share because it's just so large. So I'm working on that too. But I did print out our annex, which all of you have in front of you, as well as some of the introduction portions of that. In short, this is something that you should have been presented to you. I did confirm with my predecessor, Ms. Connolly, that she did explain this to you about a year or so ago when the meetings for this were being undertaken. So the big point of this is essentially our commitment to doing things around the county to help mitigate against potentially disastrous situations that could create bigger issues, especially fiduciary challenges for the county. So, and this is mostly speaking to the more natural caused issues, not necessarily man-made challenges. So, the big things that were identified for our county that were of the utmost concern were flooding and dam breaks, as well as wildfire and hazardous winter weather. But the two big ones that really had most of the discussion in the document have to do with floods and dam failures. So I will tangent for a second and just let you know that I did participate with the state engineer's office with our inspection at Lake DeSmet last week. and they were really positive about the condition of that lake. And I think it's important to recognize Megan Fraley's efforts out there and what a good job she's doing. So they were very pleased with what they saw. So, but this document, basically the big thing is it talks about different steps that we have been taking, things that we can take. The biggest thing about this, honestly, is really what it comes down to is from FEMA, and it has to do with money. So if we don't have this adopted and we have some sort of a hazard or a flood, FEMA doesn't want to help reimburse us for costs that we might incur. And obviously the other side of it is once we adopt it, they want to see our adherence to it. We want to be reimbursed. So it's kind of a double-edged sword. But the big reason that they believe in this is what they are stating in here is that for every dollar spent on mitigation, it saves $6 in cleanup and recovery costs. So they feel like there's a cost savings to everybody if we adopt this. So this is the first out of the what is that? I got five stops to get adoption going. My plan is to attend the city council meeting tonight and see if I can get the city of Buffalo to adopt it. And then I'll follow up with KC as well as both conservation districts. If there's any questions that any of you have about it, feel free to ask. Otherwise, I'll spare you guys going through this in depth and some of the details. I did read as much of it as I could to to spare anybody else from having to go through it. So.
So, Jimmy, the conservation districts are a new add. What role would they play in hazard mitigation?
Some of that has to do with different things that they, you know, for instance, the living snow fences that they plant, some of the weed control and stuff that goes on that they do support with. So those types of things to help them fight against things like wildfires. Obviously, there are snow drifts and the hazardous weather and things that, you know, obviously blocking up roads and all that. That we put more people out there from the county to open that stuff up. So different little. Most of the projects that this is talking about are really small in nature, but when you put them all together, they really work all together. So, but yeah, the conservation districts, I did speak with Anita yesterday when she was up here. I grabbed her in the hallway and talked to her about meeting with them, and she had actually mentioned that they had actively participated in some of these meetings and providing information regarding these as well. So.
Okay. Commissioners, the Emergency Management Coordinator has brought forth Resolution 723, Mitigation Plan Adoption, adopting the 2024 Wyoming Region 1 Hazard Mitigation Plan. Whereas Johnson County, Wyoming recognizes the threat that natural hazard poses to people and property within our community, and whereas the undertaking hazard mitigation actions will reduce the potential for harm to people and property from future hazard occurrences, and whereas an adopted hazard mitigation plan is required as a condition of future funding for mitigation projects under multiple federal emergency management agency pre- and post-disaster mitigation grant programs. And whereas Johnson County, Wyoming resides within the planning area and fully participated in the mitigation planning process to prepare this hazard mitigation plan. And now, therefore, be it resolved that Johnson County, Wyoming hereby adopts Wyoming Region 1 Hazard Mitigation Plan as an official plan. And be it further resolved, Johnson County, Wyoming will submit this adopted resolution to the Wyoming Office of Homeland Security and Federal Emergency Management Agency Region 7 officials to enable the plan's final approval. Subsequent plan updates following the approval period of this plan will require separate adoption resolutions at or before the end of the next five-year update cycle, dated the second day of July, 2024. Commissioners, you've heard the resolution. What's your pleasure?
Mr. Chairman, I make a motion that we approve Resolution 723.
And I'll second that.
There is a motion and a second. Commissioners, is there any discussion or further questions for the Emergency Management Coordinator?
No.
Hearing none, all those in favor of adoption of Resolution 723, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you, Jimmy. I'd like to welcome up now our sheriff, who has the Department of Corrections contract and then also Summit Psychological Services contract.
Morning, Commissioners.
Good morning, Sheriff. How are you?
I'm good. May I stand?
Of please.
It's almost uncomfortable to say. So we're talking about the IOP program first. So what that was is we agreed on raising that price. It went from 70 to 80, and then that had to kick in on the new budget for the DOC. So now we're at $90 a day. So that went to from 70 to $90, and that's specifically the IOP program. The split sentences, the probation sanctions are $70 right now, and we're getting a lot of splits. So I don't know what's going on there, but we just billed for 5 splits yesterday. So we're making money from that too. So what you guys, we kind of had to rush that through because of the July 1st thing that had to go to DOC and Tony Garber, so it got signed, it's sent, just so you guys know that that's taking place. Any questions on that? Okay. So the next I'd like to talk about is we had talked during the budget session about the mental health needs that we have going on in the jails, in the jail. We had no other option to look outside. A lot of times when detention calls, it asks, you know, we deal with people on their worst days, and generally some of those people are suicidal, and we like to have those people seen in person versus a Skype interview or however that's done. So a lot of times we couldn't get that done, so we searched outside. We talked to Summit Psychological, and that is Tim Blaney. Tim Blaney, I forwarded you guys a contract. Not only did he will he be able to do the in-person for the detention, but he'll also be able to do our officers that go through. We see some awful stuff, and he'll help with that as well. And that's $1,000 a month, which I think is a steal. If you look at that contract, and he's been doing real well with us, the contract, we have it as an MOU. I think that's okay. Probably should have been a contract, but so it's 24/7, and that includes our officers as well. That includes the PD if they need to do it too. So we're pretty fortunate if you guys would look that over, and I'd like to have that signed today so we can get him rolling into services, because we'll have, this is the weekend. But yeah, any questions on that?
So Sheriff, we initially had services from Northern Wyoming Mental Health, and we had a good working relationship with them. Northern Wyoming Mental Health ceased to operate and was taken over by Volunteers of America. So it really is your feeling that they are unable to meet the mental health needs that are...
I'm going to say that they've not been able to meet our needs in detention. And like I say, we take care of our people. And if we have a detention brass, or, you know, we're not... That's above our pay grade. But if we think that there should be an in-person visit... I think that there should be, and we can't make that happen through VOA. So we had no other option but to reach out and find somebody that would. So that's what we did.
No, I think that's great. I like the 24/7.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's going to be a huge. It's going to be kind of fit in that same deal as you're reusing Lisa to come in.
For sure.
And that's proven to work really well.
Mm-hmm.
So I think this is a good fit with it.
Yeah, Lisa, well, she's part of that mental health part, you know, whether it's the title part or, you know, a lot of times people just need somebody to talk to. Like, that's it.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
I think that seeing somebody in person is could say it's under the 5
Yeah, I mean, we had the last... Yeah, sorry for the interruption, Commissioner, but our last subject that we had, she was going to tomahawk that tablet, and we don't, you know, we don't need that. So I think, personally, I think it it shows that you care if you come in person. So anyway, yeah, so if you guys would look that over, and then I'd like to talk to you about the SHSP grant. So kudos to Jimmy, Jennifer, Leigh Braley, everybody kind of worked on this grant. The window film, we requested $215,000 through, it's a grant through Homeland Security. That window film is for, it's ballistic film. You can shoot out of it, but you can't shoot into it. And it's basically like the tint that you'd put on your windows, but probably a little better. It's just stop a bullet. So we requested $215,000, and that was to do all of the courthouse, Tucker's offices, circuit court, the lower level, the front window, district court, the front window, Judge Curvin's chambers, and our street side on 4th Street with all the admin offices at the sheriff's office. We put in for a dispatch in Jen's window as well, but we found out later. Dave said that that was ballistic glass already. I did not know that. But anyway, we were awarded $107,000 for that, so that's going to be a two-year deal is what, the way they looked at it. So we'll apply again next year, get the $107,000, and finish up the rest. So I don't. Maybe at the court security meeting, we'll go over which windows we do. That money doesn't come in until August,
September. It might later this year.
Okay. Yeah, we don't know for sure. So that's where we're at with that. We also requested same grant radios, both mobile and vehicle radios, or mobile and handheld radios. We were awarded 54 and some change, 55,000. So Leigh and I had talked, and I think we're going to use that first. That's another. I think that's how they do that, is they roll that into a 1-3 year project. So we'll probably do handhelds for the road deputies first, and then the next one we'll start replacing the radios and the mobile radios in the vehicle. So again, thanks to Jimmy and Jen and Leigh, they did the hard lifting on this, and I think both of those are good ideas, probably especially my office, I don't know, but yeah, we're thankful that that came through, and we're thankful that we got what we got. So any questions on that?
All right, Commissioners, we have two action items before you. First is to retroactively approve the contract with the Wyoming Department of Corrections for the IOP program, and then after that we can deal with the memorandum of understanding with Summit Psychological Services. So is there a motion to approve the contract with the Wyoming Department of Corrections?
Motion to approve the contract with the Wyoming Department of Corrections.
Second. Alright, there is a motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Next up is the Summit contracts, and I think the county attorney's office has had an opportunity to review this.
Yes.
Yes, sir. It's all good.
I'm sure this is a one-year, 1,000 a month contract between the county and Summit Psychological Services for detention. What's your pleasure?
Move to approve the contract with Summit Psychological Services, LLC.
I'll wait till there's a second, sorry.
All right, I think we need to amend that a little bit to an MOU instead of a contract.
Or just restate your motion.
Okay, I'll read. I'll make a motion that we accept the MOU between Summit Physiological Services LLC and the Johnson County Sheriff's Office.
Commissioner Summit Psychological Services.
Psychological
Services. Okay. There is a motion. Is there a second?
I have a second.
It has been moved and seconded to accept the MOU between Johnson County and Summit Psychological Services. Does anybody have any additional questions? Mr. Craigo?
Just a couple things, Mr. Chairman. One, the title really doesn't matter. I mean, an MOU is a contract. It's usually used between two governmental entities, but it does not matter. It's the terms within the contract that matter, and this is set out as a contract. So the other thing I was just going to mention is it's not set up to expire on June 30 of next year. It starts yesterday or July 1st and runs, but it runs until either party terminates it. And so there's a get out of jail card at any point. If either party decides they don't want to be in the contract anymore, they can, which is how we do a lot of those, so, and that's fine. But I just want to clarify, it's not an actual 1 year at a time deal. It could be 30 days or it could be 2 years, whatever.
Good. Additional questions for the sheriff or the county attorney?
And one other thing. So we hired a resident deputy in KC. His name is Caleb Campbell. He's starting the FTO process right now. He'll be going to the academy in the fall. So we're pretty excited about having our two guys back down there again. It's a process between FTO and the academy, but we're just thankful that we got one hired, and he's a pretty good kid. So, yeah, just letting you guys know.
All right, Commissioners, before you is a motion and a second to approve the MOU. Any further discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Thanks, Commissioner.
All right, thank you, Sheriff. Hold him up. There are two board appointments pending before you. The first is for an unexpired term on the Solid Waste District. You have a letter of interest before you from Jeremiah Wolski to take that unexpired term.
I move to appoint Jeremiah Wolski to the Solid Waste Board.
I'll second that.
There's a motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Second board appointment before you is for the library board. This is a 3-year term. You have a letter of interest from Ashley Hunkins.
Make the motion to approve Ashley Hunkins for the library board.
Second that motion.
There is a motion and a second to appoint Ashley Hunkins to the library board. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Madam Clerk, I believe you have some catering permits for the commission.
Yes, I do. The one was a request from Carl Harper to use her malt beverage permit at a Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation banquet. And she's requested a letter from the commissioner signed by you approving that. That letter is in your packet. Also, I have a couple of permits that need to be approved retroactively. The first was submitted by Carl Harper from Cowboy Bar and Grill. And it was for a funeral that was held on 6/28. Clearly, she couldn't control the timing on this. And so she requested that we approve it in advance, which was done. Application is in order. All fees were paid. And then we have an application for... also with Carl Harper from the Cowboy Bar and Grill. She's asking for a catering permit for a wedding that she's going to do, she referred to as Miss Gimmons' wedding. that will be held at 93 Bighorn Drive in Buffalo on August 24th. Her application is in order and all fees have been paid. So I respectfully request approval of these items.
So, Commissioners, the first is a request to allow Cowboy Saloon to transfer their license in for the Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation. Is there a motion?
Make a motion to approve.
Second.
There's a motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Second is the retroactive approval of a license from 6/28. Commissioners, what's your pleasure?
Approve the license retroactively.
That was a motion?
28, that's for the Cowboy Bar. Yeah.
All right, I have a motion. Is there a second?
A second.
Moved and seconded. Any discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Our final is a request for 8/24 from the Cowboy Bar for a wedding.
Make a motion to approve the
Misty wedding.
Okay.
There is a motion to approve catering permit for the Misky wedding. Any discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. All right. The next item is a request for special purpose tax. Resolution 7/24. A resolution approving a proposition to impose the 1% special purpose of sales use tax in Johnson County, State of Wyoming, for the exclusive purpose of funding specific purposes for specific amounts. The proposition is to be voted on the general election to be held Tuesday, November 5th, 2024. Whereas, pursuant to Wyoming Statute 39/15/203, 39/15/204, 39/16/203, 39/16/204, and 39/16/202, counties may impose an excise tax not to exceed 2% upon retail sales of tangible personal property and admissions and services made, and upon storage use and consumption of tangible personal property within the county for the specific purposes and as specific as authorized by the qualified electors of the county therein, the tax. And whereas the Board of Johnson County Commissioners, referred to as Commissioners of Johnson County, the State of Wyoming, the county, in response to needs of the county, requests received from the City of Buffalo and the Town of Casey, therein being sometimes individually referred to as the sponsoring entities and collectively referred to as the sponsoring entities, is permitted to make a source of funding available through the imposition of an excise tax not to exceed 1% in the following specific amounts for the following specific purposes. The projects. Project proposition number one, $250,000 for the planning, engineering, instruction related to the improvement of driving surfaces of Nolan Road in the town of Casey. Project proposition number two, $5,748,691.71 for planning, engineering, and construction related to the street reconstruction and paving, including curb, gutter, sidewalk, water main, sewer main, of the public street known as North Burrett from 4th Street to Mather Street in the City of Buffalo. And project proposition number three, $3,283,785 for planning, engineering, construction, furnishing equipment, and supplying a new public library building in Casey, and shall be authorized to be imposed an additional 1% specific purpose sales and use tax within Johnson County to be used for funding the planning, engineering, construction, remodeling, furnishing, equipping, supplying, including but not limited to equipment, acquisition, improvements of land if necessary, and to the extent necessary, allowed by law, a pledge or payment of operation and maintenance, debt service, less payments therein, and if necessary and or available, to be used to leverage or match federal and or state grant funds in the specific amounts for the specific purposes provided below. Proposition number one, $250,000 for the planning, engineering, and construction related to the improvements of the driving surface of Nolan Road in the town of Casey, for the tax or against the tax. Proposition number two, $5,748,696.71 for planning, engineering, and construction related to the street reconstruction and paving, including curb and gutter, sidewalk, water main, and sewer main of the public street known as North Burt, from North Street to from 4th Street to Mather Street in the city of Buffalo, for the tax or against the tax. Project proposition number three, $3,283,785 for the planning, engineering, construction, furnishing equipment, and supplying of a new public library building in KC, for the tax or against the tax. Section four, the county clerk shall cause the Johnson County election proclamation to be published in accordance with law. Section five, the election on the proposition shall be held, conducted, and the results canvassed as provided by Wyoming Election Code of 1973, more particularly the political subdivision bond election law, Wyoming Statute 2221-101 to 2221-1112 as amended, inclusive. Section 6, in the event that any of the three propositions shall be approved by the qualified electors of Johnson County, the tax shall commence on the first day of the calendar quarter after 60 days' notice has been given to the vendors in accordance with Wyoming Statutes 3915-203 and 3916-203, or after 120 days, notice has been given to the vendors selling from a price catalog in accordance with Wyoming Statute 3915-503 and 3916-203, upon receipt and proceeds of tax from the Wyoming Department of Revenue, the Johnson County Treasurer shall distribute said proceeds monthly to each entity in the same portion as the cost as the total cost of the purposes approved in accordance with Wyoming Statute 3915-203 and 3916-203 on the November 5th, 2024 election ballot. Upon distribution and total approved amount in tax funds to the entities, or such lesser amount, if the entities have agreed to terminate the tax pursuant to Wyoming 3915-203 and 3916-203, excess tax funds shall be retained by the Johnson County Treasurer for 1 year for refund of overpayments. After 1 year, the excise tax funds, less any refunds, plus any interest here and there, shall be transferred to the sponsoring entities in the same portion as it costs the total cost of the purpose approved in accordance with Wyoming Statute 3915-203 and 3916-203 on November 5th, 2024 election ballot. The excise tax funds, the interest earned therein, shall be used for operation maintenance of the projects or for any other legal purposes with respect thereto. Section 7. Before the proposition may be placed upon the qualified electors of Johnson County, the commissioners and the governing bodies of at least 50% of the incorporated municipalities within the county must adopt resolutions as required by Wyoming Statute 3915-203 and 3916-203. Section 8. The passage of the resolution shall constitute written notification to the county clerk in accordance with Wyoming Statute 2221-103, specifying the date of the election and the proposition, and shall further constitute approval as required by Wyoming Statute 3915-203 and 3916-203. Section 9. Should any part of the provisions of this resolution not be judicially determined to be invalid or enforceable, such determination shall not affect the remaining parts and provision therein, and intention being that each part of the provision of this resolution is severable. Approved and adopted this second day of July 2022. Commissioners, before you is the request from the City of Buffalo, the Town of KC, and the Library Board for use of the special purpose tax. Is there a motion on the resolution? Then we can take some public comment.
I make a motion to approve Resolution 724.
Second. There is a motion and a second. This time we would welcome questions or public comment on Resolution 724. Public comment? Mr. Kringle.
Mr. Chairman, we missed one little section when you were reading. It's at the bottom of page 2, and it just has some additional language that will be on the ballot, and it says at the beginning of the ballot question regarding the three propositions. It will say three propositions are proposed for funding with a 1% specific purpose sales and use tax. Each proposition stands alone. You may vote for or against each proposition. Each proposition must receive a majority of the votes cast on it to be approved.
That is a key part. Thank you, Mr. Kringle.
And so when it goes on the ballot, voters will get that instruction. And then whatever other counties, just a little bit maybe of explanation, other counties do this type of ballot proposition where they list a bunch of different projects, and whichever ones receive enough votes, they split the 1% based on their proportion of the dollar amount listed on the ballot. And so if only two of them pass, then they split it. If only one of them passes, it gets all of the extra penny. And so that's how it's drafted. We've never done that before here in Johnson County, so it's a little bit new. And the language, you know, the resolution's a little bit different than, or at least we've never done it since I've been working for the county. I don't remember seeing before that either. But anyways, it's something new. We'll just have to, when people are going to have questions. And so the total amount is still only 1%. If the voters decide to pass all three propositions, then they split the 1% until it's the total dollar amount listed for each of the projects is paid off.
And this penny, correct me, Mr. Craig, was the same special purpose tax that was used in the past to build the Buffalo Library as well as to do the last City of Buffalo street projects.
Exact same six penny, yes. It was just each of those were, when Individual. We voted on it, we only voted on one at a time. This provides options for the voters.
Any further questions or comments on Resolution 724? Hearing none, I'll close public comment. Commissioners, before you is the resolution. Any further discussion or questions? All right, all those in favor of passing Resolution 724 and sending this on to the City of Buffalo and the Town of KC, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Victor, welcome up next, our public health nurse, who has a couple of contracts.
Good morning, Commissioners. I just have for you our general MOU with our general PHM services and our MCH maternal child health services. So this is our contract that we do every year with them. And then it also has our statement of work that defines our PHM services that we offer in MCH services. And then it just has the diversion of funds if we need it, which we shouldn't, and just our agreement between the county and the state.
Kristen, can you walk us through what you provide under the Children's Special Health Program, the Maternal and Child Health Program, and the Title V Maternal Child Health Block Grants?
So Children's Special Health is underneath Maternal Child Health. It's one of the programs we offer, and this is something that we offer to those who it contains a couple of different programs. So one is a neonatal program. So if we have any preemies, it can help. We can help cover that case management. Sometimes we can help them apply for funding, things like that. This also helps children with special health needs. We do case management for them, and we can help them apply for additional funding, travel reimbursement, things like that through the state. MCH is our maternal child health. This provides home visiting services, things like lactation counseling, prenatal counseling, postpartum counseling, all of those things. And the Block Grant comes in, we are able to help people whether they're insured or not, and depending on their income, we can get additional reimbursement from the state for our hours spent with some of these families. So the Block Grant helps cover those, and then the MCH grant helps cover as well those that don't fall into that TANF realm.
So really these are the kids that already have, whether they were born premature or have health complications, this really provides them with critical services.
Correct. We can help them with case management and help. A big part of it is we help them navigate when there's a new diagnosis. Some of these kids have lots of diagnoses and things like that, and we can help them kind of navigate the healthcare system and figure out what specialists they need. And as they grow up in the program, we kind of release them. We help them figure out how to do it on their own and kind of send them off knowing what they need to do.
Mm-hmm. Looks like the plot grant is in the amount of $28,500. Is that correct?
That is correct, and this should be for a two-year annual.
Is the $28,500 split over 2 years, or is it annual payments?
I believe that is over the 2 years.
All right, and Mr. Craig, have you had the opportunity to review this grant?
I have, and it's, as Kristen said, it's the standard agreement that we do every couple of years.
I make a motion that we approve the memorandum of understanding between the State of Wyoming Department of Health, Public Health Division, and Johnson County.
I've got a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. Moved and seconded. Is there specific questions you have for the public health nurse on the terms of the contract and the services that they would provide under it? Okay.
Thank you very much.
No further discussion. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. We will now, before we move into public comment, I do want to welcome up our county attorney, who has a guardian ad litem contract that just came in. Mr. Ruby, are you going to present this to Mr. Craigo?
I can come up. Mr. Craigo will present.
Okay.
Because I have another contract that I got in the afternoon yesterday.
Okay.
So I'd like to present.
All right. Mr. Craigo, talk us through the services under guardian ad litem and the terms of this contract.
Sure. So this is just our standard contract with the state regarding our share of the costs of the guardian ad litem in our local courts. Which is we pay 25% of the fees and 25% of the office expenses, and then we also have to provide a share of the actual office space. We have to provide a suitable office space, and so that's what it is. It's the same contract that I reviewed it this morning. We got it yesterday, and it's the standard terms and conditions that we agreed to with the state.
And for the benefit of the public, Mr. Craig, would you explain to everyone what a guardian ad litem is and what they do for kids who are in the justice system?
Yeah, so they are essentially the court-appointed lawyers for children. I mean, that's the simple way to look at it. And so when kids need lawyers outside of the lawyers that their parents have hired or outside of other counsel that's been hired, the state pays for kids to have a lawyer to represent their interests. And their interest alone.
I would just add to that, Mr. Chairman, as Mr. Craigo spoke, there's guardian ad litems that function in various civil cases. The county does not pay for those. These are for guardian ad litems in just cases that are filed by the state through my office. And so most of those are abuse, neglect, those types of things, where the child's interests often are not necessarily in line with the parents. And so it's important that they have their own counsel that can meet with them and determine what's in their best interest and be able to represent them. And so it's not any and every case. If there were a divorce case or something like that where there was a guardian ad litem, which does happen, the state does not pay for that. The county doesn't pay for that. And just for that clarity, it's only for the cases that we initiate.
Commissioners, any questions for either the county attorney or the civil deputy? All right, what's your pleasure?
I move to approve.
There is a motion. Is there a second to approve the guardian ad litem memorandum of understanding?
Second.
There is a motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Mr. Ruby, I believe you have a second contract.
I do. Kristen, she's making copies for everybody. So The drug court that we operate under Fund 14 is funded predominantly by the state. That was taken over this year by the judiciary, and we've been requesting the copy of the contract for weeks here, and we received it late yesterday afternoon. I didn't actually receive it. The coordinator for the program received it, forwarded it to me, so I didn't have a chance to get it on your agenda. I really wanted to have it and have a chance to review it prior because, like I say, it's a different entity that we deal with. However, in looking at the document, it's pretty much the same and very similar to what we've had in the past. The only difference is it's funded for 2 years instead of on a yearly basis. They fund us for 2 years to use that. We hope to be funded for actually 8 positions for our drug court in this year, and then 9 positions for next year. We were granted 6 positions, and they fund that at a certain rate that they have figured out based on, well, looking at all the drug courts in the state, they figured out this is how much it costs for a participant to participate in the program. I have my disputes with how they do their math, but the reality of it is the money that we got is the money we have. In conversations with our mental health provider and with obviously our office, thank you, that provides the supervision for the folks, it appears to me that we can meet the parameters of what we need to do. And so obviously this is a late coming in contract. It's not our issue, it's not our problem, but it is in line with what we've had in the past, and the deliverables that we have to provide are the same that we've had to deal. There's a few new things, but they're not things that we can't do. And so I would ask that you as chairman sign this so that we can begin operating with them as our kind of direct supervisor on this, as opposed to the Department of Health that it used to be.
So Ruby, is the drug court operated with the magistrate for the county?
The drug court is operated. So Magistrate Jarvis actually is our drug court judge. He is retiring at the end of this year, not fiscal year, at the end of this calendar year. So I have actually spoke with Judge Kirvin, who is our district court judge, and he has expressed interest in taking over that position and doing that. In a conversation I had actually just Monday with Judge Bunting, she expressed interest if he is unable to or unwilling for any reason, which last time I talked to him, which was not long ago, he was very interested in doing it. But if he was unable to, that she was willing to step in. And so I don't think we're going to have an issue, you know, covering that. My preference is actually Judge Kirvin, just because many of our drug court participants come through DUIs or other things like that. Oftentimes it's through the circuit court. And so it puts the circuit court judge in a little bit of a weird position to have to preside over, to preside that, and then also preside the alternative treatment court. And so to keep that separate for Judge Bunting so that she doesn't feel like she's in a weird position, it would be, I think, better to have Judge Kirvin. We do send some folks from district court into the alternative treatment court, but it's less common oftentimes, and so I think he's in a better position to be able to have that separation and not feel like he has a conflict or that he has any issues. And in the rare occurrence that we may have an individual who, and it really only comes into play if somebody gets in trouble while in attorney of treatment court, they fail to comply with the terms, which we've had a lot of luck thus far that most folks comply pretty well. But in the rare occurrence that we had someone in district court that was failing to comply, I think it'd be a pretty easy thing for Judge Kirvin to have someone cover that. And so I think that's the path that we're going to go, and we're sad to lose Judge Jarvis. He started the program back in the 90s, and so it's been going for a long time. It's close to his heart, and I think he's just got to a time in his life where he's like, I've had plenty, and I'm going to move on to other things. And so we wish him well in that, but we're sad to lose him.
Commissioners, before you is a contract with Johnson County for the supervised treatment court program. Is there a motion to approve the contract, or do you have questions that you need answered from Mr. Ruby before you're ready to move forward?
Essentially the same contract, correct?
Yeah. I mean, there's a few different things, but the reality of it is the same requirements that we had previous. There are a few different rules that they have put in place, they've implemented, that are a little bit different, but I don't think they're going to be a problem for us to be able to comply with. And so, without this contract, we're not able to provide the drug court program. And so that's kind of, as I look at it, if we want to have that alternative treatment court program in Johnson County, which I think is a good program, I think it's a beneficial thing for the residents of Johnson County, that this is the contract for it. And so you will notice it's for $131,000, but that's for 2 years. So it looks like it's a huge jump from the previous year, but that's because it is a 2-year contract. So
you run the program for about what the state provides?
We find a way to, yes. So part of what we do is we some of the other drug courts, so the funding model the state uses is based on large drug courts. And so you look at like Natrona County, or you look at maybe Campbell County, other places where they have large amounts of participants. They might have 20, 30, 40 participants. When you can spread the costs out between that many participants, it's pretty easy to provide a ton of services. And so some of those bigger drug courts are able to provide more services than we are able to provide here. What we're able to provide here is we have the drug court, they are able to get their counseling, and we have contracted with BOA to be able to provide that at little or no cost to the individuals in the drug court. So they go through their IOP groups and they go through their aftercare. They also get to participate in the Thinking for a Change program, which is something that we implemented about 4 years ago when we realized we were treating the substance abuse, but we also were not doing anything about the criminogenic thinking. So the thinking errors that people were having, we're like, we should address that. Well, I say we. That wasn't my idea. I didn't think of it. The mental health providers thought of that and said, this is something that we need to address this, because this is where a lot of the addiction is coming from. And so we provide that. And then we also provide testing, a substantial amount of testing. In this grant, we're provided $2,000 per year to be able to do testing. So we do a lot of urinalysis testing, mouth swab, things like that, to make sure that the individuals are maintaining their sobriety. And then we have substantial amount of supervision that they would not receive on just normal probation or very much on unsupervised probation. So those are the services that we're able to provide in Johnson County. And they're the same ones we were able to provide 10 years ago, and they're the same ones that we're able to provide today. The one difference is that Thinking for a Change. And so, you know, if we had more funding, we could do different things and more things. But given the circumstances that we exist in a long way of answering your question, Commissioner Perry, and I apologize for that, yes, we do provide the services. We're able to provide the services for the funding they give us. If they gave us more funding, we could do more. But the other thing about it is our drug court program has been pretty successful with some folks with very serious addiction issues, and we've been able to help them. And some of them have continued on after drug court and maintained their sobriety, and that's really the goal. And so, we can provide the services that we need to, and I've been able to work through the amount that we were funded this year, and we will be able to provide all the services that we need to provide and still stay within the contract's limitations.
I make a motion we approve the treatment court funding between Johnson County and the state of Wyoming.
There's a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Moved and seconded. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Right, Mr. Ruby, we'll get that signed.
I'll get it back first.
Okay.
Thank you.
Commissioners, before we open it up to public comment, I do have two action items that I would like to request that the county submit letters on. The first, as you're aware, the Pole Creek vegetative plan was released by the U.S. Forest Service. This was an issue that we took a lot of interest in. We provide initial comments. This involves the recreational area around Pole Creek. So I'm asking for permission to draft comments now that the management plan has been released on the Pole Creek plan to make sure that we protect the recreational interests of the skiers, bikers, and hikers up there.
I'll move.
Second.
Got a motion and a second to allow the chair to provide comment on the Pole Creek vegetative plan. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. The second, commissioners, is in regards to the magistrate position. The state of Wyoming has decided that they are going to no longer appoint magistrates. And at the request of Judge Bunting, in a meeting I had with her on Monday, she's asking the commissioners if we would write a letter of support to the Chief Justice asking that a magistrate be reappointed to Johnson County. So I would ask for your permission to send the letter to Chief Justice Fox.
Make a motion to send the letter to Chief Justice Fox.
Second.
A motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Madam Clerk, did you have additional business you needed the commissioners to transact?
I do not.
Ms. Kenyon, any additional business?
No, sir.
Mr. Craigle?
No, sir.
All right. That would bring us to a time in our agenda where we would welcome any public comment. We would just ask that you please come forward and introduce yourself for the record so that the clerk can get your comments with you. So we'll come on up, and I'm glad that we have folks that are concerned about our community mental health services. So thank you so much for coming and sharing your thoughts and your experiences.
Thank you, commissioners. My concern this morning is the amount of help we're getting from VOA. Okay, about a month ago, they let us know that there would be no more peer specialists here for kids or adults. And we would either have to go to Sheridan, or we would have to go to Gillette, or do telehealth. Well, a lot of people can't go to either one. Telehealth, I don't think works. This is my daughter, and she did telehealth one time. Didn't get anything out of it. And it's like we're paying them with 1% money, with county money, with state money, to be there to support Buffalo and Casey. We're not getting that support. And I feel like that we need to have something done. We have too high of a suicide rate here in Johnson County. We just had another one about 3 weeks ago. Yeah. We need to do something to get this under control. Because they're telling us it's grant money. It's not grant money. We've got plenty of money. This is my daughter, Rena. She attends DPT at VOA with Caitlin Berg. And she's one of the statistics of being not having it anymore. Okay. Hold on, Doctor. They won't bite you, I promise.
I don't like that they're taking away the peer specialist because Caitlin was really the only person that I trusted and felt safe with, and they're taking away my safe place that I had to go to. She was the only person I would talk to, so.
Thank you for your time, but I just feel like we need to really concentrate on the mental health here in Johnson County. From what I was told, it's not only Johnson County, it's Crook County, it's Western County, there's about 8 of them that this is happening with VOA. Thank you for your time.
Thank you for your courage. Good morning.
Good morning, commissioners. My name is Robin King, and I'm here as a Johnson County resident, mom to 3 beautiful children who experience mental health illnesses. All 3 of my kids have had problems since the time they were little. We've been on wait list after wait list for counselors in Buffalo. If they would get approved to get into someone, they would get really safe with them, and then that person would leave town, or that funding would be shut down and someone would move on. When the VOA first took over Northern Mental Health, we were excited. We were geared up. All three of my kids were interested in getting services. We were referred specifically to one special counselor, Shannon Seipert, at the VOA. And I tell everyone she saved my 15-year-old's life. He feels better now that he was actually diagnosed with something, that it's something physical that he can see and put a name to, and he is a totally different kid. We were receiving services at the VOA. I haven't had any communication from the VOA. We went out of town on a trip, and my son experienced some trauma while we were visiting. We went to visit my grandma, and she passed away. Came back and tried to get him in with VOA, and everyone was too busy. We finally got an appointment, and then we had to cancel. Yesterday, I called to try to get him services. No one answered the phone, and it was forwarded to Sheridan. And when I talked to the lady about what I needed, she said, "Oh, I believe you're trying to get a hold of the Buffalo office." And I said, "Yes, I am." And she said, "Well, you just need to hang up the phone and call back, and then maybe they'll answer." I did this 3 times yesterday and finally told the gal, "Quit wasting your time and getting referred back to you." Also, my daughter experiences mental health illness. I was out of town once, and she reached out to a friend online through her phone, and that friend was amazing and called 911. 911 showed up to our house to make sure she was safe. VOA sent someone immediately to the house and was great, helped her, but then there was no follow-up. As a mom, I wouldn't have even known I was out of town, but I knew a dispatcher who was there that day, and she called me to let me know what was going on back home. So when I heard that there are more issues, more people coming forward to talk about the VOA and how, you know, when Northern Mental Health was here, we just had struggle after struggle, and VOA came in and did amazing things. I met the most people I've ever met working for an agency. I bet we've had 6-7 people introduce themselves as peer specialists from the VOA. My daughter, who was 911 was called on, she also went. There was a morning that I couldn't get her to go to school. We just walked in to VOA, and I said, "I need help." They were there. They helped her, specifically Caitlin, who's no longer there, I believe, helped my daughter. So they've done some great things. And then now it just seems like there's no communication, and so just very concerned. Thank you.
Good morning, commissioners.
Good morning.
I would like to be very clear that I'm here as Bill Hawley, resident of 955 North Burritt, that I'm off the clock as your Johnson County Prevention Specialist. As you've just heard from these folks, and as I know you know, and Commissioner Perry, I believe you remember the struggles that we had with Northern Wyoming Mental Health in keeping staff, quality staff, including Tyler Broderick. We're starting to see this again, and so what these good citizens and several others desire from you specifically, which is why I'm here as a citizen, is to get this really on the radar even more so. You know, our governor and Jen Davis in his office, Andy Somerville with the Wyoming Association of Mental Health and Substance Abuse Centers, many others in the last 5 years, I would say, have really put a focus on this. And I would give credit to Mr. Craig over here as well, in that the state of Wyoming, including the county that I reside in, it's time that we treat brain diagnoses the same way we treat any other physical health diagnoses. And that is to recognize them and then also to do what we can to fully staff, which means fully fund, our community mental health centers. When they are fully staffed, you just heard a couple great success stories, and I'm really glad that we have a couple representatives from VOA in the audience today because they need to hear that too. I also want to make sure that you hear me very clearly saying, what can you as commissioners do? And Commission Chair Novotny, as president of the Wyoming County Commission Association, I'm leaning into you as well to use that influence, to use that connectivity with the 23 other county commissions in Wyoming to work with, to talk to the Andy Somervilles, to talk to the good folks at VOA, so that we can, if I may speak freely, I'm sick and tired of hearing politicians say, the budget's too fat, we need to wean it, we need to cut it, because we know what gets cut first. What gets cut first are all the services that help the people that don't have the voice. The services in the mental health areas, the services for kids, whether that's guardian ad litems, drug courts, or other things, that's always what gets cut first. Shame on us. We can do better. I've shared the governor's roadmap with you before. Not surprisingly, two, and I'll give you another copy of this, not surprisingly, two of the four priorities on this roadmap are community mental health center reform and workforce development. Because just as any healthcare system is realizing, until we address all of these issues of not just recruiting and getting quality brain health providers in our communities, our small frontier communities, until we can give them a wage and benefits, I'll leave these up here if any of the audience would like them, where they can actually live in the communities that they serve. This is the cycle, isn't it? We saw it with Northern. Now, unfortunately, we're seeing that with VOA. So I want to be very clear. This is not by any means an attack on Volunteers of America. What it is our case to advocate, yes, first and foremost in our county, but statewide, that this is a systemic problem. And I didn't print all 28 pages, but I will email later. You know, we've got this 28-page report on the behavioral health care system reform and what needs to happen across the board in the state of Wyoming. Paper never got anything done, as far as I know. It's good people who care and who have some influence, who can have the ears of decision makers, like the three of you, who can get things done. And so I applaud Jackie and Robin, and there are others. You heard the sheriff talk about we're farming out critical services because VOA simply doesn't have the staff. Drug court, I don't know how that's going to operate as well. So as my friend Robin, we had great excitement when VOA took over. Economy of scale, all those things. And so we're here to advocate, to work with, and to support whatever we can do. I'm going to finish just with this one thing because you all know me pretty well. So this will be Bill going over the top a little bit. Imagine what our community would say if our Johnson County Healthcare Center no longer had ER doctors and incredible people like Halle Berry in the ER and Angie Knutson, if they couldn't staff the ER. Imagine what our response would be. How is this different? How is this different when we can't staff and fund our community mental health center to help law enforcement when they're with a suicidal individual on a call, or to go to the jail when they have someone in crisis in person? To me, they're the same. That community mental health center saved my life 21 years ago. Not unironically, Tim Blaney was there. And if not for Tim, and God bless Dr. Gonzalez, I don't know. But I share that story because there's hope in that. When there are services available, and when we take the barriers of help-seeking behavior away, especially for us middle, I guess I'm older than middle-aged now, and for Camino. I think of 61 as the new 41, okay? Until we decrease that stigma and those barriers, the unfortunate reality is we're going to keep hearing the tragic stories of deaths of middle-aged men in our county, including three this year. And I hate that. I appreciate your time. I appreciate your attention and the work that I know that you'll do to to help this situation.
Are there any other folks who would like to make public comment?
Good morning, commissioners. Thank you. My name is Dr. Amy Foster. I'm the Chief Program Officer for Volunteers of American Northern Rockies. Just wanted to take an opportunity. I caught wind of some of the constituents that would be here from Johnson County this morning to share about their concerns for the mental health system. And I tend to agree with a lot of what Mr. Hawley said. You know, we've seen some changes at BOA. Specifically, I'd like to speak to what's happening with our peer specialist workforce first, and then also some of the telehealth services that you heard about today. So for those of you who are unaware, BOA has outpatient clinics stretching up the eastern side of the state of Wyoming. We have 10 clinics currently from Cheyenne up to Sheridan, including Campbell County, Johnson County, and many others. And we also have several residential treatment facilities. And this week we just launched a crisis stabilization program in Sheridan, which we're excited about, and hopefully met with Sheriff a couple weeks ago to talk about the opportunity for Johnson County that facility will provide as well to meet some of the needs of this community. Our peer specialist workforce was in our outpatient clinic specifically was a grant-funded program that we operated for several years. And the grant funding termed, it was through SAMHSA, federal funding opportunity that we received. And despite our intentions and hard work to try to get that to be a sustainable program, we were unable to do so. What we did with our peer specialists is offer them positions into our crisis program in Sheridan. Now, some were able to take those opportunities, others were not, and thus some opted to leave the organization. That crisis facility is vital, will continue to be vital, I think you will find, and required that sort of service delivery of peer specialists, also was funded through a different stream. It was challenging. To say the least, and I do not want to minimize the impact on our clients with that loss. We had a peer specialist out of Newcastle relocate. We had several out of Sheridan go to the crisis facility and others go to some of our other residential programs. We did lose our peer specialist in Buffalo, who was Caitlin, who you heard great things about, and really have a lot of great respect for her. We did maintain two peers, one in Gillette, in our outpatient clinic specifically, one in Gillette and one in Sheridan. The one in Campbell County remained there as a member of the treatment court program that we're piloting with the executive branch. But those were some of our big challenges. We also just lost Tyler Broderick as an employee for BOA, which I'm sure many of you are familiar with Tyler and the incredible human that he is. One thing I'd just like to highlight, you know, Mr. Hawley spoke to the challenge of maintaining a well-staffed clinic with behavioral health experts and quality individuals, and that is absolutely the case. You know, when things changed in 2020, in light of the COVID pandemic, mental health needs skyrocketed. You probably heard that time and time again. And I continue to reiterate to those with an ear to hear that the need for quality behavioral health services is quickly outpacing the resources that we have. That's not new today, and has continued to change over the course of the last 4 years. So that's what we're faced with. We do have providers in our outpatient clinic here in Johnson County currently, and we do leverage quite a bit of telehealth services across all 10 of our counties to try to meet the needs as best we can in light of those workforce challenges. We have a licensed clinician, Shannon Seipert. You heard her name spoken here today, also incredible human, very caring individual that we appreciate. And we have an open clinician position, so if anybody knows of anybody, tell your friends, we're hiring. We'd love to have them begin to work in the Johnson County community and serve these individuals. These are the challenges that we face. Despite our efforts statewide, countywide, and most of our regions, gaps remain, and I think you heard that spoken pretty eloquently today.
So is it my understanding that you have one clinician only presently in Buffalo?
We do have one licensed clinician in Buffalo and an intern. Yeah.
And what would be optimal staffing for our facility here?
We have one license, so currently we have one licensed clinician, one case manager, and one life skills trainer. So there's three providers essentially, but one person to provide licensed therapy. We would like to have two additional clinicians in this clinic at least.
So I heard two additional clinicians. I didn't hear the term peer specialists, which sounds like that's the services that the people want.
We would like to also have at least one peer specialist in Johnson County. We would love to have a peer specialist in every one of our clinics at a minimum.
So I'll re-ask my question then. A fully staffed Johnson County community mental health facility, how many clinicians and how many peer specialists does it need to have to meet the needs of this community?
Three clinicians at a minimum and one peer specialist at a minimum.
Thank you.
Are you going to be reaching out and finding a peer specialist like now, or are you having issues with housing to try to get some of these people in? How long has the position been open?
We don't have funding to support a peer specialist position in Johnson County at all right now. And we are in pursuit of an additional SAMHSA grant and should be hearing of an award before September 1. And that will allow us an opportunity to reopen that position. But right now, we don't have it budgeted in the existing fiscal year.
Is that grant like a one-year grant, or is it?
No, the SAMHSA grant that we applied for that would re-implement this program is several years. I think 3 to 4 years is what we applied for.
We don't typically, but I do see the good parishioner did raise her hand. So, Reverend Buckingham, did you have a question either for the speaker?
Yes, I do. I hear about Johnson County being served. My question is, Southern Johnson County has a problem too. When you go on about clinicians, and we are 45 minutes away from here, how are you going to serve us in Casey, Wyoming? Because from past experience, it's not been very good. So I'd like to know how that's going to happen. Mm-hmm. Because I've got kids down there that I know that when school goes out, they are not being served. At the moment, it's a little bit better with the ranchers, but there's been some, we have ranchers that go through mental issues that would never, ever reach out unless somebody directs them to go seek help. And to get help in this, it's hard. Mm-hmm. So I want to know, it's nice that Johnson County, Northern Johnson County is getting served. I want to know how Southern Johnson County is going to get served.
Yeah, I think, I mean, just off the top of my head, I would love to entertain another conversation about this and sort of what the specific needs are because, it sounds like there's some unique challenges. This is where we leverage telehealth services, and I know that that's not necessarily an option for all people, so I think we could get creative to think about how that part of the community could be served, what the need is and how we could meet it. But that is our responsibility to understand better, again, all parts of the county and what the services that are needed are. So I would love to have a follow-up conversation around
that.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for your input, and we look forward to an ongoing discussion on how we get to three clinicians and one peer specialist plus services for KC. Is there any additional public comment? Hearing no additional public comment, commissioners, the county attorney has asked for an executive session, so I would appreciate a motion pursuant to statutes covering pending litigation. And I would just make one announcement before that, just as a reminder, on July 9th, the county will formally adopt its budget. So that's next Tuesday. So is there a motion to enter into executive session?
Motion we enter into executive session.
Second. Moved and seconded.
This audio was brought to you by State Farm agent Alicia Kozacek, your location agent and good neighbor.
Minutes.